Take this later. Take it later. Hmm? We'll take it later. This is good. You got this packet?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, shalom. Okay. Today, we're going to learn the sugya of Chofer B'Pikadon. This Sunday we're going to have the Halacha Shia Bez Hashem on Shinoi Mokom, B'Brachas. Bez Hashem, towards the beginning of next week, we should try to see if we're able to come on Simchas Torah to let us know, because we have to try to make the arrangements. If need be, we'll get a bus even, and the food, and the chule. Everyone is strongly urged to come, those that are able to. And I think everyone will really enjoy it. And it's the type of thing that, you know, sometimes if you don't come, and you know, you'll say, you know, why didn't I come? So we should, it's always nice with every opportunity we have to get together as a shir, a veirim, especially in a yontif. It's a very special opportunity. So we should try to do so if we can. Okay, we should try to be very special to be together. So we're going to try at the beginning of the week, of this coming week, to see who's coming, so we'll know the exact number, and Bez Hashem, it should be a nice experience. Hopefully, as the year progresses, we can have other times to be together, but we should try as we can. Okay. Getting back to Bezim and Aleph, where we had the Din of Gzelos. Right, we know Gzelos Peshlosha. And Rashi says, what's Gzelos Kofer B'Pikadon? Right, what does Kofer B'Pikadon mean? A person was given a Pikadon to watch, and he denies that he ever got it. But the guy's going away, says, okay, watch my car. So he parks his car in the driveway of the Shomer, and then he comes back from his vacation, and he wants his car back. He says, well, you never gave it to me. He's kofer b'pikadon. So that is a gazel. Now, the Mefarshim are all bothered by what does it mean, d'mishesholach bo yad havi gazel? I mean, the kofer b'pikadon is a gazel, and even if it's not sholach bo yad, even if you just deny it. So the simple pshat is what the Chidush Aran writes. And the Aruch HaNer claims that Rashi holds that way also. If you look in the Chidush Aran on page 3, so the Chidush Aran says, Lashon Gzeilas kolol kol ma she'odam zochu la'atzmo mishol chavero. That Gzeilas means anything you take from your friend. Hein shechatach eze chefetz, whether you snatch an object, or shaleach yad. In other words, either you take it away, or you just pick it up to use something that's not yours. Oh, kofer pipikadon. In other words, oh. It's all three separate cases. Chataf, ezechefetz, shaloch bayad. So one is that your mamish went up to somebody and just snatched the purse out of the woman's hand. That's chataf. That's one case of gazlan. Oh, sholech yad means the person's a shomer and he wasn't supposed to use the item, but he decides to use it. So, and he's not allowed to. So that's also a gazlan. Oh, kofer pibikadon. Or a kofer pibikadon. Kofer pibikadon is no action. Kofer pibikadon means you gave him the bikadon and it's in his house or whatever, and he just denies it. That's also a gazlan. Notion mefurish the pasha shomachinim the hasam yafim gemara the gzeis bein shloshim mumchim. That's what's so the Aruch Laner on page 2 asks the question on Rashi, because Rashi says gzeis kofar pikadim dimisha shalach bayad. It's mashma you need both, that a kofar pikadim is only a gazlan if he shalach bayad. Which is difficult. Look at the Aruch Laner. Koshali came into kofer mikodem ma'ilo miki gazlan. Afilo adayin lo shalach bayad. What do you need shalach bayad for? A kofer mikodem is a gazlan is all right. Shari amina babakam a kofer mikodem posel eidus. A person's kofer mikodem, he's already posel eidus mitam gazlan. V'lo be'inu shekvar shalach bayad. So, go further down. The first word on the line is afilu. It says, "Vulei the mistafina." Had I not been fearful, whenever, Rishon Nachman wants to say a chiddush, and he thinks maybe it's too big of a chiddush, so he says, "Vulei mistafina." If I had not been fearful, I'd say the following. Meaning, I'm going to say the following. Vulei the mistafina. Hayanirali shenafel toos b'hatokas Rashi. He thinks that there's a toos sofer in Rashi. Like the Ran said, it's three cases. It's not kofim gon dimi shesholach o shesholach. There are a lot of fancy Torahs on this Rabbosa, and I don't believe in. I'm not so into the fancy Torahs. I like this pshat. I think it's the. I'm not here to give you fancy Torahs. The fancy Torahs on this. A lot of fancy Torahs. I'm not here to give you fancy Torahs. Unless I think it's really the pshat. Yeah. Oh, shesholach. V'nachar Rashi trei mine gzeilas b'pikadon. And these are two types of gzeilas. One is shalach bayad, and one is kofer b'pikadon. And then he says shuvar isi b'kudush haran. He says that I saw in the kudush haran shekosov. Who writes that? We just said. In other words, the Ran writes it out explicitly. And the Rashi doesn't say that, but he thinks that that's the Pshat Rashi. So he thinks that that's what you should, that's the Pshat in Rashi as well. Oh, so let's explore a little bit this inyan of kofer pipikadon. Let's take a look on page 1. And let's see the various aspects of kofer pipikadon. Amar Rav Sheshes, hakofer pipikadon nasa alav gazlan, v'chayiv ba'onsa. So, first we have to learn the new halacha. And that is there are two aspects to gezeila. When you take something from somebody, physically take somebody, some an object from somebody else, you're a gazer. So you violate the iser gezeila. You're a gazer. You violated the iser gezeila. But then there's another halacha called kinyan gezeila, and that means that you have a certain level of ownership on the object. Now, what does that mean? You don't own the object. You took someone else's object. So what does it mean as a kinyan gezeila? So if there's a you do a shinoi maisa, so then it becomes yours, and then you just have to, like you took a piece of wood and then you turned it into a table, so now you don't have to return the piece of wood, you just give money for the piece of wood. But we're not talking about that. What are we talking about? Talking about the following. Besides the Indian of Isser Gzela, there's a Kenyan Zela, which means the following. That a Gazlan, what would you say the following halacha should be? Say you steal someone's car. Wait, one step back. Say you borrowed someone's car. You're a shoyl of someone's car. Right? Say it. And then an onus takes place. There was a big storm. Parked the car right outside your house. There was a big storm, so the tree fell down, smashed the car. So what's the din? You borrowed someone's car. So what's the din? What? By a shoyel, you chayev even for onus. Because a shoyel is chayev even for onus. But say you're a shomer chinam on his car, and the tree fell down. What's the din? Now, what's the din by a gazlan? By a gazlan. He steals the car. And right now he steals it. Well, maybe he's in return. But right now he steals the car. And then an onus happens. So what's the din? What? A person steals a car, and then then an onus happens. So what's the din? Chayef. Right. So Yoni says chayef, because the din is that once you steal, you're a gazlan. Once you pick it up or you move it, you get kinyane gzela. And kinyane gzela, one of the relevance of kinyane gzela is that it's yours in regard to that yichayef ba'onus. Just like your own object, if an onus happens, so you lose out. If the tree fell in your own car, so there's no one to collect money from, so you lose out. So we consider, when you steal, we consider it yours vis-a-vis this aspect that you're going to be chayev in onus. In other words, the Torah places responsibility on you. It makes you the same level of responsibility like a shoyel. You don't say, well, it was an onus, so why should I be responsible? I was going to maybe return it anyway. No. Since you steal, you get kinyane gzela, and since you get kinyane gzela, so therefore, you chayev an onus. So the question is, what's the status of a kofar b'pikadon? So kofar b'pikadon didn't actually take it. He got a pikadon b'heter. And now he's denying it. So you could say that maybe a kofar b'pikadon violated the issa gzela, but he doesn't have a kinyan gzela. Because why? Because he didn't do a maisa. And he shouldn't be chayav
and owns it.
So comes the Gemara and says, no. Amar Rav Sheshes, a kofer pikodon, nase alav gazlin. That a person is kofer pikodon, he becomes a gazlin. Not only an issid zela, the chayit owns it, even the second level. Not only did he violate the isser, but now he has kinyonik zela, that if an onus happens, he's responsible. And the chiddush is, you might think that maybe kinyonik zela is only what? If you do a maaser. So the chiddush is, no. Even if what? Even if you don't do a maaser, even if you don't do a maaser, it's still, you will what? Considered a gazlan and he chayev the onus. That's the chiddush. So that is one aspect of kofer b'pikadon. Now, let's discuss another aspect. Pasul Aegis. Who is Pasul Aegis? How do you become possible with this? What? We'll get to this. So, there are two ways to become possible with this. More than two ways, but two category of ways to become possible with this. Let's look in the Rambam on page 4. Wait, that's, one second. Let's look in the Rambam. Page 6, right. Says the Rambam, Harishoyim Tzulim Le'edus Min HaTorah. So you become Pasul Eidus by becoming a Rasha. A Rasha's Pasul Eidus. So how do you become a Rasha? And before we see how you become a Rasha, the Rambam says, Harishoyim Pusulim Leidus Menatar Shanem Al Toshis Yodcha Im Rasha Al Yosef Hamas Vipi Hashmul Lomdu Al Toshis Rasha Eid. Afilu eight kasha sheyodei b'chaveyu sheRasha bein adaniyam makirim risho also lo lahayi inim of bishu eidus emes. It's like this. Say I know, I saw that Reuven lent money to Shimon. I saw it. I was there. So I want to testify in Beis Din that so Reuven can get his money back, where Shimon's denying the loan. But I'm only one eight, and there was another person with me who also saw, and I know it's true. Because I was there. The only thing is, this other fellow is Pasul Eidus. So the question is, am I allowed to go to Beis Din with him to testify? Because bottom line is, I'm not telling a lie. It's true. But the halacha is, you're not allowed to go to Beis Din with him. Because even though it's true, but he's not allowed to testify. And if you're going to go together with him, you want to maintain the potency of two Eidim. But it's not two Eidim. So you're fooling Beis Din that they're two Eidim, even though you know the truth. So you think, I know the truth, but it's better than two Eidim. No, the system has to work through the system of two Eidim. And even though you know the truth, you can't go with the other guy. So you know, see, you can rationalize. Look, I'm not going to, you know, do anything wrong. Lamaisa, I saw he did lend him the money, and I know the truth, I saw it. So, but the only way Beis Din's not going to leave me alone. And the other guy saw it too. But the other guy's a Michal Shabbos. So he can't testify, so I can't testify with him either.
So that's what he says. Afil a kosher, so yodei b'chaveiro shu rasha.
Even an a kosher that knows that his friend is a rasha, ve'ein ha'dayonim makirim risho, but the dayonim don't know that he's a rasha, also lo la'ayt imo. You're not allowed to be made. Afal pisha hu eidus emes. Even though it's emes. If they should start imo, ve'nim sazeh ha'kosher ishis yodu im ha'rasha, actually the kabla eidusa. Because you join together with a rasha. Ve'im tzarech lo me'i kosher she'yodeh be'eidus l'chaveir v'yodeh she'eid ha'sheini imo, eid sheker she'osu lo lo'id she'neim ha'atashas yodu im rasha. And certainly, if the other aid wasn't even there, so he's an aid checker, so, and even though you know the story is true, still can't be made of this. So the first case, at least, the other aid was also an aid, Emes. He was there too, but he just is not allowed to testify, so you can't be with him. And certainly, if the other guy wasn't even there, but even though you know the story is true, Afal Pi Kein, you can't testify with him. Yeah, Joel?
Why is it different whether the judges know or not that he's a Russia?
No, because if the judges know, then they're not going to accept him.
So, I mean,
so you're not going to get away. You're not going to get through.
I mean, it shouldn't be
the Kiddush is, you might deceive the judges if he doesn't know.
No, they just said that you can't do it no matter what.
Yeah, but in other words, in the case where the judges know, so it's obvious that the judges are not going to accept the testimony, so you have to try to do that. Situation where it might go through is where they don't know, so they know they can accept his Avis. They can accept the other guy and your Avis together with the other guy, and it's not a good Avis because he's a Russian. Yo? Yeah, well, we'll have to see. How do you... Okay, well, that's the next thing. How do you become an aid apostle? So we'll see. Halacha Beis. Eza rasha kol she'over aveir shechayim aleha malchus. Zehu rasha apostle. And how do you become a rasha? If you violate an aveira that is chayiv malchus. Shrei Torah kara l'mchuyiv malchus rasha. Because the Torah says somebody's chayiv malchus is a rasha. Shenemar v'yayim bin hakos a rasha. Ein tzarech lomim mechuyiv misa beizden shu posel. Shenemar shehu rasha lomus. Because if you violate something that you chayiv malchus or something you chayiv misa, you're considered a rasha. So if he eats McDonald's, so you chayiv malchus for that because it's a nevela, shreifa nevela. So you chayiv malchus. If you mechal Shabbos, you chayiv misa. So anything that at least malchus or misa, then you call the rasha and you're not your pasul latest. But if you just don't put on tefillin, or you don't put a mezuzah in your house, or you don't shake lulav, then you're not chayiv malchus for that. So you're not a rasha. You're only considered a rasha if you do something that's chayiv malchus or misa. To be chayiv malchus, it has to be a lav sheyesh bo misa. You have to violate the law in the Torah with a maaser. Like the Torah says, lo sochal kol nevela, so you ate McDonald's. So that's so then you're a Rasha. Or if you mechal Shabbos, so then you chayiv misa, so then you're a Rasha. Yeah. Right, so there is the concept like we saw in the Chumash Shir yesterday about Tinak Shanishpa. And there's a discussion of Tinak Shanishpa. Maybe Tinak Shanishpa is not Kosel Eidus. Maybe Tinak Shanishpa is not considered a Rasha. If he never knew, if he never... But the question is what's considered Tinak Shanishpa. maybe there might be some stuff. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. If he didn't act, that he would be Chayiv Miso, would be Chayiv Malkus. So that he didn't get the punishment because there were, like Bezman Hazeh, we don't give punishments. Right? No, but it can even be then, where there was no Hasra or no Edom. But it means in potential. He did something that potentially is Chayiv Malkus. In other words, he ate the cheeseburger, he ate the McDonald's, whatever. So he's Chayiv Malkus.
So let's say I'm saying, for instance, like, he kills someone, you don't know if it was Mishovei or Benazir, right? You can't prove it. So would that be something?
No, that's a different thing. If it might be Mishovei, then he's not possible. We're talking about, for sure, it was Benazir.
And then you wouldn't, obviously, so then the only case would be when you're sure it's Benazir and you can't kill him.
Right, like, we know a person is not religious, so he goes to McDonald's, so he knows this, he's doing a Benazir. He's not a religious Jew, so he goes to McDonald's, he does a b'mezid, so then he did something that potentially Chayiv Malkus.
I'm saying specifically b'misa, though, this case would only apply to today, because then he would be killed. If we thought that he was Chayiv Malkus, he would be killed. He wouldn't get a chance. Right? So
but you can be Chayiv Misa means also without Edom, you're not going to get the Misa punishment, but you did something that potentially is Chayiv Misa. It means you Machal Shabbos with no Edim, that's called you did something that's Chayiv Misa. You're not going to get the Misa because there was no Edim, but you still puzzle Edis.
Saying only if he knows that he did it, he should
have. Right. Binyamin?
Just going back to the guy who was deceiving the court, you were saying that the fact that he was deceiving the court makes him puzzle?
No. No, he became possible for something he did prior.
I mean, the guy who tried to bring the other puzzle back,
yeah,
testified. You're saying that since he tried to deceive the court with the puzzle,
right,
makes him puzzle too, or you're saying that...
No. It's just that's why you need a special puzzle to tell me you're not allowed to deceive the court. In a situation where the court doesn't know. So the chiddush is that even though you're kosher and the other guy's pasul and you know that the testimony is truthful, but you still not allowed to testify with him. Yeah. Right. In other words, there's a tshuva process that. Yeah, if he does tshuva, then you kosher leidus. If you do tshuva. Oh, pashtus not. Even though your friend is eating cheeseburgers, so you can't testify with him. Then the Rambam continues in Halacha Gimel. Avar aveira shechayav imele malchus minatora haray was a pasul minatora. That if you violated something that you chay malchus minatora, you pasul minatora. The mechiv shabam midivreim raise a pasul midivreim. But if you violated an issur drabanan, in other words, so then you're only pasul midrabanan. Ketzer achal basar behema b'cholav. If you ate meat, it was cooked together with milk. Osha achal nevelus ushkotzim, or you ate nevelus ushkotzim. Kayotzi behen bein l'tiyom imilachis. Osha chilul as yontav rishon. Osha imichal yontav. Osha lova shatnis. Shushua otovo yonus. Harei is a pasul leedus minatora. So then you pasul leedus minatora. Aval machal baser of becholov. But if you eat chicken that was cooked with milk, so that's only drabana. So osha chilul yontav sheni shel golius. Or Imchal Yontav Sheni Shel Golius, or Shalava Big Day Tzema, Shalava Bachut Shel Tishtun Kayotibim, Harei Pasul Midivreim. So then you're only Pasul Midrabanim. Uchvar Meninu Kol Aveir Shechayim Ole Malchus. The Rambam has a whole list where he lists every single aveira in the Torah that you chayv malchus for. The Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. Okay, so these are one track. This is the track of the Malchus Misa track. And you're chayiv Malchus Misa, or potential Malchus Misa, so then you pasul Eidus. But now in Halacha Dalet, the Rambam has something else. V'od yesham rishayim shem psulim le'edus afal pi she'hein b'nei tashlum e'ena b'nei malchus. But then there's another track that even though you're not chayiv malchus, we said if you're not chayiv malchus, you're not pasul le'edus. For example, you didn't put on tefillin, you didn't shake lulav, you don't have mezuzahs on your house, so there's no malchus for that. You mevatel a mitzvah essay. So you mevatel a mitzvah essay. There's no malchus. It's just a bittul essay. So you kosher le'edus. A person doesn't have mezuzahs in his house, it's still kosher le'edus. But there's another situation, the Rambam says, where you could be pasul, where you could be pasul le'edus even though you're not chayiv malchus or misa. What's that? Monetary. It's also called a Russia. This is called a Russia the Chumas. The first category is called a Russia the Lav the Chumas. He's a Russia not in the monetary area. The first guy is a very honest guy. He just turns on the light on Shabbos. He's a very honest person. He just turns on the light on Shabbos. The second category we do now is called Russia the Chumas. Russia the Chumas. Even though he returned it, it means he returned it on the coercion. If he returned it by himself, then he did tshuva, then that's okay, then he's not possible anymore. But it means that he didn't want to return it, but he got caught and he was forced to, so then he's still possible than he was. So here, you're not chayiv malchus the stealing, right? There's no malchus of stealing, but you can always return the asher. So it's not, but this is another category called Russia the Chumas. Right? So there are two categories. There's a machlokas in the Gemara. This is the way we pass it. That there's a category called Rasha the Lav the Chumas. That means that a person is an honest person, and he just violates Lav and pieces, but he's totally honest. And then the other guy is could be keep Shabbos and Kashrus and everything, but he steals. So he's called Rasha the Chumas, so he is Pasul Le'edus. He's Pasul Le'edus Dorais. Rabbi Shechter always tells the story that he was called up once to be an Eid Kiddushin at a wedding, and then the other person who was called up also was a long. And the other person didn't go up because he knew that he was about to be indicted. A goy cannot be a witness. A woman and a goy, even though they're totally honest and even though they don't steal, and there's a separate soul, a woman can't be a witness and a goy can't be a witness. Those are the two categories that we discussed. Maybe we'll have a packet on this also. Even if one of the witnesses under the chuppah is pasul, right, the Chasam Sofer says that he could still count the witnesses in the audience, even though the people in the audience don't see the giving of the ring, but they know it's happening. So then the wedding would be valid also. Provided that the Ramosha provided an Orthodox rabbi. So then you can assume that the ring was given over properly. If it wasn't an Orthodox rabbi, then he says he can't assume that it was given over properly. Which is a big, big finish. Because, I mean, maybe someone who's not Orthodox, they could also give over the ring properly. But you don't necessarily know, because they don't know the halacha, that the ring has to be yours. But the guy in the back row who's schmoozing the whole time at the chuppah, he could be considered an aide of the kedushin, even though he didn't see anything. He's in the back row, he's the talker, but he knows he's at a wedding, and he knows that the chassan and the kala marched down, and so he can be an aide too. So if one of the aides are no good on the chuppah, so chassan sofer says he can count as it. Or both things are no good. Because the Chasam Sofer passes like the sheet is that Yedi is Kareya. Yeah, I have a packet. One day I'll give it to you again. I have a packet. What? Right. That has no bearing. No, usually the minhag is that the Masada Kedushin thing, the Kedushin, he's the one who's officiating. So he's saying, okay, Kedushin was Tal, the Kedushin. Yeah. Yeah, so exclusion of all others is a very... You know, it's, as Rav Schechter pointed out, it really is not so, the thing you should really be saying. Because you don't want to exclude all others. That's not what you want to do. You want the people in the audience
to be just in case.
So the Rav used to say, Rav Schechter said, the Rav meant that these agents should be in a different path than the others. So the best thing is not to say the really to exclusion of all others necessarily. That's a new idea. Like Rabbi Tversky, he says the exclusion of Krogan and Sulu. So, you should know that all these things are modern stuff. But you have to realize people have been getting married for thousands of years now. The institution of marriage didn't just start like 50 years ago. People, it's an old institution from Adam and Eve, what would they do? I don't know, is it necessarily how? Like, when I said they're there, the people in the crowd, so even if you said... I remember I was in Sarah Kedushin at Ben Skydell's wedding, so I didn't want to say the exclusion of all others, but the Aiden, they wanted me to say it. So I wasn't going to start up with the Aiden. You want to start up with the Aiden. So I said it, whatever. You have to look at the video to see what was said. Yeah. Well, what's your name again?
Sorry?
Your name?
I can't remember what it's called.
Daniel Brook.
Question is, could you be Sovich on... when Rosh said you'd be Sovich on it, could you be Sovich on the fact that even if you know the Edom are Fossil? If I know these two Edom are Fossil, they gamble every single night.
They what?
If I know that they have a trait that makes it possible that it's... I know for sure, 100%. Could I still be so much under emotion as Shul? That's something that's happened to say.
I mean, so why do you want to call them up?
Why? Because it's a Shishan Bias obligation.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Chasam Sofer would say it's Chal. I mean, you know the guy is whatever.
No, you know he can't be an aid.
He what?
You know he cannot be an aid.
You know he can't be an aid. But you want to call him because it's a...
Because you have to. There's no other choice.
No other choice.
It's a familial
feud will erupt.
Friends will kill him.
Well, what you could do is call that guy up and you could have the Masada Kedushin act as an aid also. So you have the Masada Kedushin who's kosher and the other aid who's kosher, and then this one guy is puzzled. So then your mamash still have aid area.
Right, but I understand that you could have the Masada Kedushin, but could the fact that the whole cow is washing...
That makes it chal. Oh. So now let's discuss. So what is the story of Kofer Pikadon? What would you say? If somebody denies a Pikadon, is he Pasul Eidus? Does he fit into one of these categories? What? He's a Glazen. So which category does he fit into? Russia. The Hamas. And let me ask you a question. If somebody lends you money and then you deny the loan, Kofer behalva. Are you postulators or postulators? If you kofer behalva.
Postulators.
What's the pashta should be? I would think fossil, because it's also Russia. The Chama. So who says kosher? Huh? Where does Rashi say that? Who? Yeah, but Rashi and Sanhedrin Beis Amidala is not talking about Suleidus. It's just talking about why they should be called in the category of Halos Halos, so it is the category of Zelos Halos. Right, but you're not Gazlan having this issue, but maybe you're Gazlan why should it be any difference? If there's a category of Russia the Hamas, that means
you don't take money that's not yours. You just didn't return money that's in. You take money that's not yours.
So you want to say you're not even your kosher ladies. But the idea is that Russia the Hamas means, since he's cheating in money, well, he's no good for an aid. So here, a Russia, kofer behalva is also cheating in mamon. He's also cheating in mamon. So what do you mean he's kosher lazy? What do you say? He's also cheating, no? Michael? What? But isn't that called cheating in money?
But that's the way the Rambam doesn't give us any example other than that.
Okay, well, take a look, Rav Ossai, page 7. The bottom right of page 7. So the Gemara tells us a chiddush. Teda de Omar Ravidi bar Oven hakofer b'milve kosher le'edus b'vikodun posul le'edus. A person who's kofer b'milve is kosher le'edus. Kosher le'edus. B'vikodun posul le'edus. So, l'chora, this Gemara is very strange. Because both people are dishonest monetarily. One guy, look, he gave a guy a $10,000 loan, and he denies it. and he's not telling the truth. So he's kosher leidus. And the other guy, you gave him a $15 tape recorder to watch. And he denies it, so he's kosher leidus. What's the logic? What is the logic? L'chora, they're both liars. They're both monetary liars, so they both should fall under the category of what? Rasha the Hamas. So what's the answer? It's true, but you're still dishonest in money. Why should it be that Kofar, yeah, Shulda said also, it's your money. So what? By Milv, it's your money. But bottom line is, you're dishonest. Bottom line is, you're dishonest in money. So how can you be Kosher Leidus if you're Kofar by Milv? Harav Talman? Let's assume. So what's the answer? What is the answer? So the answer is given in the Gemara, in Maseches Bava Metzia, on page 8 in the packet, payment base. Mar says he hockey kofer be god of my posse name is the mudi kam shtamit sover ad hashna u mashkachtale yemin kofer be god of posse lay dus because all see sadi was he the way that he shaykh he said would be god of basic have your day not even have another lady your day period. He says like this. The key word is ishtamut kamishtamit. Meaning, when a person borrows money, so he borrows it to spend it. Right? So he spends the money. So it could be that when a person denies, we don't treat him as dishonestly monetarily. Why? Because we say that the reason why he denied, he's only stolen. He's really going to pay up. He's only stolen. Because he doesn't have the money around. So therefore, even though he seemingly is saying something that's dishonest now, but we don't view him as a Russian. Because we say that he's only saying it to stall, but he's really going to pay back. Masha ain't king, the case of Kofar Pikadu, you're not allowed to use him Pikadu. So the case the Gemara says is that you say you don't have the car that the guy gave you to watch, but there ain't him that it's parked in your summer home in Monticello. It's there. So there's no stalling. Because you can't use it, and there ain't him that at this time it's in your property or in your hand. So then, by the fact that you're denying, shows that you really want to keep it, and you're never planning to give it back. Because or else, why are you denying it? By a loan, you can deny the stall. It's not a riot. You only consider a Russia if you're not planning to give it back. But by a loan, we say, even though you're denying it, you say you only deny it because you don't have the money now, so you just store it. But you want to give it back. But by the Pikadon, you're not allowed to use it. So the case is that the Pikadon, see, in this situation, you got lost, or maybe you stole it. But the case is that it's right there. They even say, we see it there. Yet you're still denying it. So why are you denying it? Obviously, you never plan to give it back.
hence you puzzle Eidus. And that's the Gemara says in Bava Metzia is the chiluk why a kofra b'milveh is kosher le'edus and a kofra b'kodam is puzzle le'edus. So let's just review what we saw today. We said that a kofra b'kodam is called a gazlan and it's chayiv ba'onsen. So that means that not only is there a din. Not only is there a din of what? Of an Issig Zela, but there's also a Kinyan Zela. And Kinyan Zela means Yechayiv and Onsen. So normally when you steal something, you pick it up, you violate the Issig Zela, and you have a Kinyan Zela. So the same thing by Kofi Pichad, even though he didn't do a physical Maisa, still there's an Issig Zela and a Kinyan Zela. And then we discuss the aspect of Pasul Avis. We said that there are two types of Pasul Avis. There's a Rasha Lav the Chamas and a Rasha the Chamas. A Rasha the Lav the Chamas, he has to violate at least a Lav or a Misa. And a Rasha the Chamas, he violates a monetary thing. But we said that even though there's a concept of Rasha the Chamas, yet the Kofar of the Milva is what? It's Pasul Avis. Why is Kofar B'milva Kosher Le'edus? Because the Shavuti Kamishlamit, which doesn't apply to Pikadon, because Pikadon, the scenarios, obviously he's not allowed to use it, and there are Eidim there that he still has it, and yet he's still denying it. Obviously that means he's not planning to pay it back. Yeah, Ben.
Does the Kofar Malva have any time period that we that he still stole with, or do we give him the benefit of that for forever?
That's a good question. In other words, what's the statute of limitations here? What do you want to say? Yeah.
If the Kofar Malva was stolen, could you just say Kofar Malva, if he was stolen at the time?
Yeah.
Could you just say, like, I don't have the money?
Right. So Yoni's asking, well, so why doesn't he just say, I don't have the money? The answer is because he doesn't want to have that pressure. In other words, he wants to be able to get the money without having people down his back. So he's saying he's denying it. He's really planning to pay it. And this way, he'll do it at, you know, without the pressure. Because once he denies it, they'll be off his back. I mean, at least he thinks they'll be off his back. But you're right. A straight person, we're not advocating. Kofar B'milva Kosher Le'edus, but, you know, the Rosh Hashiva of Keren B'Yavna always used this joke. He said, you know, not about this, but in general, he said, yeah, he's Kosher Le'edus, but we're not going to give him shishi in the yeshiva. Shishi, you know, it's not that he did a good thing. You know, that's a terrible thing to be a kofar b'milva. That's a terrible, 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 terrible thing. Don't think that we're advocating it. But still, Lagabe, the din of Eidus, he's still considered kosher.
But
a kofar b'kodam doesn't need to be sholach b'yad. And this Gemara is not talking about that he was sholach b'yad.
He's not being sholach b'yad to the exclusive of Mavo, which is just the shemute.
Yeah.
Not saying sholach b'yad and the classic sholach b'yad. I'm not talking about sholach b'yad. It's not sholach b'yad as opposed to, and it's not like he has a time of the shemute.
But what, how does that sholach b'yad?
The
well, why does the word Shalach Bayad indicate not Ishtamute? Right, but I mean, if you want to indicate not Ishtamute, you say, and the Pikadon was there. Okay, yeah, you want to say Shalach Bayad, it was there, so that's okay, maybe. Yeah, Mordechai. Oh, Mordechai is asking a very interesting question. Well, but Shoyl usually is only he borrowed it for himself to use. Doesn't this?
So he left it to the leg and he doesn't, it's not
Right, no. The Gemara says the only case is in a situation where we know that there are Eidim that say that it's mamish there. In a situation where he left it by the lake, he could say Yishtamutu Yikam Yishtamit also by Pikadim. If you have the scenario of Yishtamutu Yikam Yishtamit even by Pikadim, then in a Chanam he won't be Pasal Eidus. Okay, everybody, so these are the general halachas of Kofar Pikadon. Bez Hashem, next week we have to start the sugi of Drisha v'Chakira, which is the famous tshuva of the Noda Behuda about the woman who was Mezana, and normally a woman's Mezana, she's also Labaila. But here, the Eidim didn't remember what day it happened on. They didn't remember the date. So is that going to be a way of getting the woman out of being usher to her husband or not? We'll see. That requires a lot of discussion.
Give him the top of the top.
Today, being September 11th, I think it requires a tremendous amount of introspection. I think one can't go through the day of September 11th without recalling the tremendous tragedy that befell mankind on that day. And to us here in this yeshiva, we lost our Talmid, Mark Rosenberg, who was a Talmid in this very shir,
who was a victim of that tragedy. And just yesterday, we heard the devastating news of the death of Dr. Applebaum and his daughter, a person who was getting married the next day and got blown up the day before. And the enormous impact of these tragedies are beyond human comprehension. To even fathom the depth and the greatness of what we lost. Every soul is so special, and we can't even begin to understand the magnitude of such a loss. But I'd like to focus on an aspect of Hakaras HaTov, of what we do have, that has to be heightened whenever we're confronted with tragedy and loss. And I'd like to begin with this week's Parsha, the Parsha's Kisovo, which is talks about the mitzvah of Bikurim in the beginning, and then tie it to the events of the day. The Torah tells us, "Vayaki savo el ha'aretz, asher Hashem Elokecha nosein l'cho nachalo, v'yishtav yashavtabo." You go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to get a land, and you have a mitzvah of bikurim. V'lakachta me'reishis kol pri ha'adoma, asher tavi me'artzecha, asher Hashem Elokecha nosein l'ch v'samta batena, v'alachta l'mokom asher yivcha Hashem Elokecha l'shaken shemo shom. So you take the first fruits, and you go to Eretz Yisrael, you go to Yerushalayim, Uvasa la Kohen Sheyeba Yomim Mahim, you go to the Kohen, Ve'amarta Elav, Higarti Hayom, Hashem Elokecha Kibosi El Oretz, Asher Nishba Hashem Lavoseinu, Loses Lonu. And you say to the Kohen, Kibosi El Oretz, I come to the land, and these are the first fruits. And Rashi tells us, Meireishis, the local Reishis. Not every first fruit, not the first oranges, not the first apples. Ein kol ha'peiros chayovim bibikurim, ela zayin haminim bilvat. That the only thing that's chayiv in bikurim are the shivas haminim. Keep that in mind. Then the Torah tells us, Meireishis, Rashi writes, Adam Yoreid L'tov Sadeh, Ro'oteina Shebichra Korech Alav Gemi. Right, when you see the fruit is ripened, you put a ribbon on it, and you set it aside that these first fruits that were ripe are going to Yerushalayim. And then, on the second page, V'amarta Elov, you say, I'm coming to the land that Hashem promised us, says Rashi, V'amarta Elov, on the second page, She'eincha kofoi tova. That the reason why you make this declaration and you do the mitzvah is to show the Ribbono Shel Olam that you're not an ingrate. That you have proper gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam for whatever He gave you. He gave you these new fruits. You have gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He gave you these new fruits. V'amarta Elov She'eincha kofoi tova. So as clear, the mitzvah of Bikurim is a mitzvah of Hakaras HaTov, that we show in some way to the Ribbono Shel Olam that we're thankful for this bounty that He provided us. Then the Torah continues on page 3. Hayom hazeh Hashem Elokecha mitzavcha lasos esachukim ha'ele v'esmishpotim v'shamarta v'asisa osom b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. That hayom hazeh Hashem
gave the chukim v'mishpatim and the shamarta v'asisa. So, what is this lashon v'shamarta v'asisa? What is this lashon? V'shamarta, you did in the past, v'asisa, you're going to do in the future. So says Rashi, v'shamarta v'asisa, baskol mivarchoso hevesa bikurim hayom tishne l'shona haba. Now baskol comes out and says, you brought the bikurim this year, you're going to be zoche, you should be zoche, you will be zoche to do it again next year. So it's a very strange thing, because you don't have a baskol when you face, when you bring a korban pesach, so the baskol doesn't go out. You brought a korban pesach this year, you should bring it next year. You shake lulav, a baskol doesn't come out. You know, other mitzvahs that we do. Here by Bikurim, a special thing, that a baskol comes out and gives you a bracha, that you brought Bikurim this year, you should be zocher to bring it next year. Why? Why? What's so special by Bikurim that you have this baskol? And why over here? Well, so to understand the inyan in greater detail, let's take a look in the Mishnah, on page 4, the Mishnah in Bikurim. Rashi, that we saw already, quoted this Mishnah in brevity. But let's see a little bit more. Ketzad mafrishim habikurim. How does one set aside bikurim? Yored odom besoch sadeyu. A person goes down to his field. V'roa te'ena shebichra. He sees a fig that ripened. Eshkol shebiker. He sees a grape that ripened. Rimon shebiker. He sees a pomegranate that ripened. So what does he do? Koshro begemi. He takes a ribbon, a band. He ties it as a simon. V'omer hare elu bikurim. And he proclaims, these are bikurim. Rabbi Shimon omer, afal pikein chozer v'koreosom bikurim mi'acha shiit l'shu min akarka. And Rabbi Shimon says that you have to make a verbal declaration even after you detach it from the ground. You should declare it again. So what's interesting, Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah, you do this to the various species of the Bikurim. But it's interesting. It's interesting to note the Mishnah singled out only three of the species. Te'ena, Eshkol, and Rimo. The fig, the grape, the pomegranate. Te'ena, Eshkol, the Rimo. Now, what's difficult with that? Why these three? Why these three? Look, the din of Bikurim applies to what? All the Zayin Minim. It applies to all the Zayin Minim. So why did the Mishnah choose all these three? So if you would have asked me the question, I would have said, Luke, they choose, you know, they're not going to mention all seven, Chita, Sora, Geffen, Ein, Rima, you know, they're not going to mention all of them. So they have sampled all three. However, the Arizal makes a deeper comment over here. Take a look on page 6 in the Parsha of the Meraglim. We know the Meraglim went into Eretz Yisrael. They spoke bad on the land. It says, Ve'yavo'u al nachal eshkol v'yichrusu misham zmora v'eshkol anovim echor. They took a branch and they took some grapes. And what else did they took? Umin harimonim, umin hata'enim. They took three species from Eretz Yisrael with kavana to try to degrade
the land to show that they can't conquer it. It's too big. It's too, you won't be able to handle it. And part of the scheme was they took these three species. Anovim, Rimonim, and Te'enim. So says the Arizal that the Mishnah, we're going to see shortly inside, the Mishnah that mentions these three is because the mitzvah of Bikurim is a tikkun for the Chet HaMeraglim. So therefore, Dafka, the three species that were mentioned in the Mishnah are the three that were mentioned by the Meraglim. Now, we'll see how exactly it's a tikkun, and we'll define it in two different ways. Take a look in the Sefer on page 8, Pri Eitz Chaim, which is a Sefer all about Bikurim. So he says, he quotes the Mishnah, Tanan Paragimel Ketzel Mafrishim HaBikurim Yorid Odom Besoch Sadeu Verotena Shebichre Eshkol Shebiker, etc. Harei Husku Vastisim Gimel Minim Vein Te'ena Eshkol Verimel. That the Meraglim wanted to degrade the land, and Bikurim is showing the love of the land. And hence, to highlight that, the Mishnah enunciates Dafka, the three species that were mentioned by the Meraglim. And the way it's a tikkun is because they denigrated the land and they are praising and loving the land. But I think you can broaden this idea, not necessarily as a message only of Chibas Ha'aretz, but as well as a message of Hakaras HaTov to something that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you a matana of Eretz Yisrael, and you degrade it, that's the biggest Kafoy Tova that possibly could be. Here, Ribbono Shel Olam is giving you such a beautiful matana, and you are degrading it, you're looking not to accept it, that's a tremendous, tremendous Kofoy Tova, a tremendous act of lack of gratitude. However, so that Avera was Avera of lack of gratitude, and Bikurim, as we saw in the Rashi, Higarti Hayom She'encha Kofoy Tova. That Gufa is the mitzvah of Bikurim to rectify the lack of, it happens to be, was talking about Eretz Yisrael, but it's a message that we can have in every aspect of our lives, that a person has to make sure that he's not lacking the sense of Hakaras HaTov, whether it means between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and whether it means you between you and your fellow Jew. And Hakaras HaTov, as I say many times, has different measures. If a person opens the door for you, so Hakaras HaTov is enough to say thank you. If he does something more for you on a greater level, so then sometimes you write him a note or something. The Hakaras HaTov has to be commensurate with the Tova that you received. And if it's not commensurate, then that Hakaras HaTov is not necessarily a proper Hakaras HaTov. Yet Yerushalmi tells us on page 9 that there were several psukim that were recited during the bringing of the Bikurim. It says like this, Baderech hayu omrim samachti ba'omrim li beis Hashem neilech. They would say, on the way to Yushalayim, they'd say, samachti ba'omrim li beis Hashem neilech. Yushalayim hayu omrim ondos hayu rableinu b'sharayich Yushalayim. Barabayis hayu omrim haluka halukel b'kotcher. And then when they finally got to the Azorah, which is the height of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Bikurim, what do they say? Kol haneshama tahalelka haleluka. They say the psukim, the pasuk of Kol haneshama tahalelka.
Why is the pasuk Kol Haneshama Tehalelcha? Why is that said at the pinnacle of the Havas Habikur?
So if you look, so some explain, if you look in the Medrash Rabbah, and this is a different printing of the Medrash Rabbah that I than what I normally Xerox from, on page 10, the Medrash Rabbah says, Rab Levi v'shem Rab Hanina Omar, Al Kol Nishima u Nishima she'odom no shem, Sarich l'kales laborei, that every single breath that you take, you're required to thank the Ribono Shel Olam. How do you know? Matam kol haneshama tahalelka, kol haneshima tahalelka. In other words, poshut shak kol haneshama tahalelka means every soul should praise the Ribono Shel Olam. The Medrash darshens that kol haneshama means kol neshima, that every single breath that we're zoche to take on this world, we have to thank the Ribono Shel Olam. So hence, it's very well understood why this is the pinnacle of the mitzvah bikurim. The mitzvah bikurim, she'encha kofoy tova, as Rashi says, the mitzvah hakaras hatov, so when the mitzvah is finally being fulfilled by putting the bikurim in the azara, the pasuk which highlights the hakaras hatov of human life, of kol haneshama, al kol neshima u neshima, at that point, you stress up that pasuk, that chazal, al kol neshima u neshima, chayav adam lehodos l'Hashem. As we said very often, you know, we take things for granted, we take life for granted. Of course I should breathe, of course I should walk. That's normal. But then when you come to a September 11th, when you come to what happened this week in Eretz Yisrael, and you see a person comes to work in the morning, and he doesn't come home, and you live the normal day, with all the frustrations that the day might have, but you come home and you're breathing, I'll call Neshima and Neshima. You have to be thankful for the Ribono Shel Olam. You have to be thankful. And that's the mitzvah of Hakaras HaTov. It says the Medrash in Bereishis that Bereishis Bore Elokim, page 11, Rafuna b'shem Rav Matna b'schus shlosha dvarim nivra olam, that b'schus of three things the world was created, b'schus chala, b'schus maestros, u'b'schus bikurim. So we're not going to talk about chala maestros, let's talk about bikurim. Matam Bereishis Bara Elokim, the Ein Reishis, skip two lines, Ela Bikurim. So Bereishis Bara Elokim means that the whole world was created for the mitzvah of Bikurim. Unbelievable. Bereishis Bara Elokim, the whole world was created for the mitzvah of Reishis of Bikurim. The yeshiva of Reishis, of the mitzvah of Reishis, the whole world was created. Bereishis Bara Elokim. So what does that mean? What does that mean? So says the Ramban on page 12 in Bo, the famous Ramban in Bo. But we're going to just focus on one, two lines there. Lefichach omru havei zoher b'mitzvah kala kibachamura. He says, why is it that the Chazal tell us that we have to be nisar in a mitzvah kala? In some mitzvah that we don't consider a mitzvah, but you still have to be zoya the mitzvah kalot v'chavura. Shekulam chamudos v'chavivos v'ol. Chamud means chaviv also, because every mitzvah is chaviv. Why? Shebechol shah adam moda v'hem leilokav. Because any time you do a mitzvah, and you should have this in mind. When you're doing a mitzvah, that's the way of thanking the Ribono Shel Olam for giving you whatever he gave you. And that's the point, that we should thank God that he created us. Was the whole point of the Bria is to have proper Hakaras HaTov. That's
that is the whole point of the existence of man, is that man is created because Baruch Hu gives him all these things, and the whole point of our creation is that we should have gratitude and be thankful to the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's the reason of all the mitzvahs, and that she'ein lo kamacha v'yitzir rishona. Ve'ein hel elyon chofetz v'tachtonim devad she'yeda ha'odom v'yodei lo kov shabro. The whole reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that there should be a world, the whole reason is that we should have Hakara Satov. So I thought, now we can understand very well how come the Bas Kol comes out when you bring Bikurim. The Bas Kol comes out and says, Hevesa Bikurim B'shana Zu Tishnen L'shana Haba. Why? Because the whole reason that you have a right to live is because you matter tov to the Ribono Shel Olam. Because as the Ramban said, that's the whole point of the creation. So therefore, Hevesa Bikurim, if you did it in this year, you're going to be zocha to live another year. Because you showed the Ribono Shel Olam that you're taking the point of creation seriously. Hevesa Bikurim Mishana Zo, Tishne Mishana Haba. And that's because, like the Ramban says, Zech Havonos Ko Hayitzira. And that is the Yisod of Osai, that nothing is too little, too insignificant of what the Ribono Shel Olam does to us. And a lot of times we overlook. We assume everything is Magialan. And then we don't get something that we want. We feel that we were gypped, we were cheated, but we always have to thank the Ribono Shel Olam is going to provide us with everything we need. In all in its due time, whatever we need, the Ribono Shel Olam can provide it, but he just wants to make sure that as we go along, you didn't forget the Hakara Satov. And that's the pinnacle. Al Kol, Neshima, Uneshima. You have to, on every breath, don't take it for granted. And I'd like to share with you a poem. This poem my mother found years ago in some newspaper, and she put it in the house, and I wanted to share it with you because I think it highlights the chazal of Kol Neshima Uneshima. And it says like this: even though I clutch my blanket and growl when the alarm rings each morning, thank you, Lord, that I can hear. There are many who are deaf. Even though I keep my eyes tightly closed against the morning light as long as possible, thank you, Lord, that I can see. There are many who are blind. Even though I huddle in my bed and put off the effort of rising, thank you, Lord, that I have the strength to rise. There are many who are bedridden. Even though the first hour of my day is hectic, when socks are lost, toast is burned, and tempers are short, thank you, Lord, for my family. There are many who are lonely. Even though our breakfast table never looks like the pictures in the magazines, and the menu is at times unbalanced, thank you, Lord, for the food we have. There are many who are hungry. Even though the routine of my job is often monotonous, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to work. There are many who have no job. Even though I grumble and bemoan my fate from day to day and wish my circumstances were not so modest, thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. And I think when it comes to September 11th, this is a time when we have to focus on the value of life. When it's a time where people were mezalzel in the Kedusha Sachayim, when people were so mezalzel in people's lives, they took their lives and they spilled blood like water. So it's a time that we have to thank the Ribono Shel Olam for the gift of life, and we have to mechazik our Hakar Satov to Ribono Shel Olam and our Kavod Abrius that we give to our fellow Jew, because our fellow human beings. Because in a time that there was such a zilzul in Kvod HaChayim, so we have to thank the Ribono Shel Olam for our life, and we have to be mechabed Chayim. We have to mechabed people who are alive to show that we consider life an important value. We consider life something that we thank the Ribono Shel Olam. And as we see the parsha here of Bikurim, of Higarti Hayom She'encha Kofoy Tova,
We have to make sure that we always have proper hakaras hatov, commensurate with the tov that we get, has to be our hakaras hatov, and we have to value our lives. And value our lives also means to use the time that we have, to take advantage of every opportunity that we have in life, not to squander our opportunities, to take advantage of opportunities here. We're in yeshiva, we have so many opportunities to do so many things. Take advantage of every single opportunity that you possibly can, because every opportunity is a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you person is mezalzel in a matana to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was the Chet HaMeraglim. And that's why you need a kapara of the Te'ena, the Rimon, and the Eshkol of the Bikurim to be mechaper. And that's the Yisod, that we have to seize the moment. Seize the moment of Kedusha Sachayim. Seize the moment of Simcha Sachayim. Don't let it go by without seizing that moment. Thank the Ribon Shel Olam for the gift of life. On September 11th, when there was such a zilzal, there was such a degradation of Kedusha Sachayim, there has to be a time when we go and strengthen our Kedusha Sachayim, and we should all be zocheh that we bring Bikurim this year, in a, perhaps in a figurative sense, Tishne L'shona Habah.